I stand before you tonight as a grateful believer in the power of Jesus to transform lives as he has mine. I'm finding freedom from binge eating disorder brought on by the trauma of childhood sexual and emotional abuse. And my name is Betty. My story begins in Seattle, Washington. I was the last of three children born of godly Christian parents. We faithfully attended church each week, and those early years had a big role in guiding and shaping my life. I gave my heart to Jesus at age 4. I truly believe the verse in Philippians that says, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until Christ Jesus." Even in the best of Christian homes, abuse can happen. The big secret in my life was of being abused by a family member. That big secret became my place of brokenness. Because both of my parents worked, I was often home alone and felt lonely. I filled up the empty places with an elaborate imagination. In many ways, it was easier for me to live in a fantasy world than it was to deal with reality. I also turned to food for comfort in those lonely times. That became my pattern with pain and loneliness, eating and escaping into fantasy. My emotional pain also came from a difficult relationship with my mama. Her love of cooking and creating amazing southern dishes became my love connection to her, and so began that link in my heart between love and comfort being experienced with food. Eating became the way I would manage the hard things in my life. Yet, as it is with any other drug of choice, it never really satisfied. Instead, I just packed the pounds on, creating a fatty layer of protection all around me. Compulsive eating certainly never did anything to help my relationship with my mother. She took me to the doctor for my first diet at age 10. The doctor cut all the comfort food out of my life, and I lost weight. My fifth grade teacher noticed all the weight loss and complimented me on looking skinny. So, in my distorted way of thinking, the only way I could be accepted was by being skinny. I was now totally focused on my body image. Being thin meant I was pleasing others and making my life a whole lot happier. What a prison of desperation. The only way to feel free and to feel okay was to cling to that distorted body image in my head. That began a pattern of controlled, near-starvation eating leading to anorexic behavior by the time that I was in high school, followed by binge eating and purging until I was finally diagnosed as bulimic. None of this was working too well for me. Trying to control was my way of life. All of this in order to gain the approval of others. But no matter how much I dieted or how hard I tried to be perfect, I could not measure up to my own or others' expectations. All the people-pleasing just left me empty. Through the next decades of my life, I experienced a roller coaster of incredibly good and devastatingly bad events. A marriage that nearly failed twice, infertility, adoption, the births of three additional children, discovering that the two youngest of those children were also being abused by a family member, financial stresses, and even a rewarding teaching career. These events were accompanied by my ever-changing body, sometimes fat, sometimes thin. Through all of this, God was faithful. He never gave up on me and gave me glimpses of a better way through the godly example of other women who eventually became my mentors. I wish I could say that I experienced real change in that time, but you see, nothing had changed regarding that wounded little girl. She was hiding in the shadows, begging to be heard and healed. So I still struggled with my eating. I really couldn't figure it out. Why was I able to lose weight time after time, only to regain it all and then some? I felt defeated and helpless to change things in my life. Over and over, I would find the new special miracle diet, the right plan, the perfect pill. My last failed attempt was HCG, human growth hormone injections, and a 500-calorie starvation diet. That was in 2011, and yes, all the weight was gone once again. I was determined not to let the pounds creep back by falling into my own patterns of eating my way out of the emotional pits that came my way. But sadly, within 6 months, I had gained nearly all the weight back. I hit a real low in July of 2012. My eating was again out of control, and I felt hopeless. You see, for me, food had become a real idol. I thought about it the first thing every morning, and the last thought that I had every night, and the hours in between were spent planning and focusing on food. It was controlling me. During one of our services here at Rolling Hills that month, Celebrate Recovery was being featured at church. I was there, and I saw the suitcase testimonies. People would come out, and one side of their suitcase would say what their issue had been, and then on the other side, what God had done in their lives. There was one person in particular that day that moved me to tears, and I knew at that moment that I needed to check out CR to get help. The very next Wednesday night, I attended my first CR meeting. That was the hardest night. I felt so defeated and at the end of myself. What was I doing there? That's what I was thinking. But I was right where God wanted me to be. I learned that first night, though, that I wasn't the only food addict, and I wasn't alone in my desperation. Each week, I walked in obedience, taking off my mask and being real with Jesus and others for the first time. Within 3 months, I began to attend my first step study. I thought to myself that I wasn't going to be like those other people and get stuck here. My plan was to get fixed and to return to my regular ministry. I was pretty full of myself. Gradually, God opened my eyes as I walked through the 12-step program. I began to realize that God had a way of healing that I had never before experienced. It was hard work. But Jesus and my step study sisters, many of whom are sitting right here tonight, were with me all the way. I grew the most at the fourth step. As I began to take a moral inventory of all those who had hurt me and those I had hurt, it became clear that my food issues were all tied up to that helpless little girl. I was finally able to talk to God about how I had felt abandoned by him, and as though no one was with me or cared in those dark times of abuse. As Jesus helped me work through those times in the light of his love, I began to realize that he never left me alone. He was there with me each and every time. His love was deeper than any abyss that I had fallen into, and that his love has the power to heal all my broken places. Step 6 of the program is offering forgiveness to those who have hurt us and making amends for the harm we've done to others. I struggled with the thought of forgiving my abuser and my mother. They had both died a few months apart, 9 years before this. In some ways, it seemed easier for me to forgive my abuser than my own mother. Before she lost the ability to communicate and died from complications of Alzheimer's, she had told me that she hated me. One day during the recovery process, Jesus gave me a very personal insight that put into perspective how my mother really felt. She was an amazing seamstress. She tailor-made many of my outfits when I was in school, including a beautiful silk brocade dress and a coat to match. I opened a spare room closet door, and there was that coat. I don't know why I was drawn to it that day, but I wrapped that coat around me, and as I felt the richness of the fabric caress my shoulders, I sensed the Lord whisper that this was how my mother had shown her love to me. What she hadn't been able to say with her words, she had created with the skill of her hands. Just this past summer, when I was cleaning a drawer of a filing cabinet, I found a note that she had written to me before dementia stole her memories. It was such a loving note. I realized how blind I had been to only see the bad in my relationship with her. God continues to heal my memories. Today, I'm a new person. I'm certainly not perfect. I will always be someone who has issues with food, but they no longer define me. In Christ, I have a new identity. Now I'm a grateful believer in Jesus and his power. I've been in recovery for the past 5.5 years now. Recovery for eating disorders is a little different than it is for many other substance abuse issues. You can't quit cold turkey. It's tricky, but 2 years ago, I was feeling pretty good about how far I had come. I had 2-step studies under my belt. I was no longer binge eating, and I was really trying my hardest to eat healthy. At the same time, our oldest son was suffering from the effects of severe diabetes. He had lost a leg and was facing kidney failure and needed a transplant. So in 2014, I tried to be his living donor. I remember how very powerless I felt when the donation process was brought to a halt once they learned about my eating disorder. I was crushed. I had nearly completed all the tests, and they knew that I had the same blood type and that I had healthy kidneys. After all, I'd worked so hard to be free of the bondage of binge eating, and here I was being told no. The rest of the test to see if I had compatible antibodies never happened. They were concerned that post-surgery would cause me to relapse. I tried to reason with the doctors and asked if I could sign a release that would keep them harmless if something didn't go well for me, but the door was tightly shut. I was filled with pride. I was convinced that I was right and the doctors were wrong. I never really thought about how a bad outcome on my part could contribute to the way others might look negatively at the living donor process. It never crossed my mind. I wanted to manipulate and control it all. This verse now stands out to me. Pride ends in a fall, while humility brings honor. Proverbs 29:23. I remember weeping before the Lord and begging him to let me be the donor. Then when I was turned down, I reached out to others to try to get them to consider living donation. My counselor has a way of describing this. She talks to me about how I'm often trying to get everyone to read the script that I'm writing instead of letting God be the director of the dramas in my life. He's the great playwright who knows all the characters, where each is to enter and exit, and who knows the script that they are to learn, not me. So don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow too. Live one day at a time, Matthew 6:34. I decided at that point to take matters into my own hands and to try to work through them with a special psychologist who works with clients who have eating disorders. I did the things she told me to do, and once again, I called the transplant team to see if they might agree with the psychologist that I was doing great. Once again, they said no, and they made it very clear that I was no longer considered a candidate. I was filled with resentments. It was eating away at me, and it was destroying my serenity. I didn't understand that sometimes there are wounds that only God is able to heal. About this time, I attended a retreat and heard a speaker that helped me see what my resentments were doing to me. They weren't affecting the people that I resented. They were just hurting me. I made arrangements to start seeing her on a regular basis. Food wasn't even an issue. I consider her my sponsor now. Over the months, we have opened up the areas of pain in my life, and we've examined each one. This past summer, last summer, I saw one of the doctors that I had held resentments for in my heart. I was able to make amends to him right there in his office. He looked a bit surprised. I'm not sure he hears many amends. But let me tell you, forgiveness is freeing. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Ephesians 4:26-27. One of the things I was learning from my counselor took the form of an illustration of God being like a giant river. We can sit on the side of the river and watch it go by, too afraid to get our feet wet. We can jump into the river, but then frantically swim against the current, convinced we are right about going our own way. Or we can jump into the river and let that mighty river take us in the direction we're supposed to go as we lean back and float along. I finally decided to float with God and not try to swim against the current of His love. In February of 2016, things turned even worse. Our son nearly died. He coded during a routine procedure, and as a result of that episode, he was removed from the deceased donor's list. As he went through the testing to be placed back on that list in June of that year, I accompanied him to one of his office visits. As a changed and humbled human being, I walked back into those transplant offices and was prompted by the Holy Spirit to ask one more time if I might be considered a living donor for my son. What I thought months earlier had been a no from God turned out to be a not yet. The doctor said that we could begin the process that very day and try again. No one was more surprised than me to find that out. It turned out that I was a perfect match for our adopted son. And 4 months later, I donated my kidney to him. I had to recognize that this had all been out of my control. Powerlessness is not a curse, people. We are powerless in our weakness, but by God's power, we can be made strong. How am I different now? Well, for one thing, I know I'm messed up, but now I know that Jesus demonstrates his power through my weaknesses, not my strengths. I'm not independent, but totally dependent on him. He's taught me that I am not supposed to be consuming horrendous amounts of food to feel filled and satisfied. He wants me to consume him and his word. He's the only thing that truly satisfies me, and I'm totally in love with him. I'm also more at peace. One of my family members was asked a few weeks ago if I was stressing over having about 25 people over for New Year's Eve this year. Her comment spoke volumes to me. She said, "Well, maybe she would have been stressed out a couple of years ago, but not anymore." One thing I have learned is that he is ready to show me the reasons for my behavior whenever I call on him. Recently, I was tempted to turn back to my old pattern, but when I asked Jesus to show me, he showed me that it was something that I was anxious about, a personal family relationship, and that I was not trusting him to work in that situation. Instead, I was trying in my own strength to work it out. I now see and experience new signals in my spirit that indicate to me that I need to seek his help. I can trust Jesus to continue to set me free. I don't have to defer to those old default settings in my mind that suggest that only food could make me feel better. I now enjoy the sweetness of my life instead of the sweetness of food. I no longer have to try to please others or gain their approval. I'm free. God has taken my bitter experiences and turned them into something sweet. The key for me is having a bond a band of sisters and brothers who are standing with me. I've actually been able to thank God for many of the very situations that are so hard now. That's because I realize that the more difficult the situation, the more I need Him and the closer I need to get to His heart. I don't really understand how it works, but I know that I need CR in my life. I used to isolate, but now I'm convinced that I need my CR sisters to keep me accountable. God designed us to need community and the fellowship of others to grow in Him. He continues to love me and transform my thinking, which is the key to my recovery. I like the way Romans 12:1 is written in the Message translation of the Bible. It goes like this. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. I wish I had turned this area of my life over to Jesus long ago, but I know He had a purpose in my past failures. I've learned that God is the ultimate recycler. He reuses our pain to help others around us. No tear is wasted. I'm happy now to stand with others as a sponsor or helping to man the back table or whatever is needed so that others can find freedom for themselves as well. I need CR to keep my sanity and to remain self-controlled and sober in my eating. If you are new to CR, there are lots of people here who would be happy to walk with you on your journey. Don't be intimidated by the way ahead. If you've been coming to CR but not really engaging, join a step study and work the principles. You'll never be sorry. Don't give up. Keep coming back. God will help you to become free as you learn to trust Him. Thank you.